and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in GCSE biology, natural selection, and genetic modification. Whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, from Darwin's brilliant idea to the cutting-edge science of genetic engineering. I'll be covering the core concepts clearly, sharing the exam tips that examiners actually look for, testing you with a quick-fire quiz, and leaving you with a sharp summary to take away. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with natural selection, the engine of evolution. Charles Darwin proposed the theory of evolution by natural selection in 1859, and it remains one of the most powerful ideas in all of science. Here's the key thing to understand. Evolution doesn't happen to individuals. It happens to populations over many generations. So how does it work? There are five key steps, and I want you to be able to recall all five in an exam. Step one, variation. Within any population, individuals show genetic variation, differences in their characteristics caused by differences in their genes. This variation arises through random mutations in sexual reproduction. Step two, competition. Organisms produce more offspring than the environment can support. This means there's a struggle for survival. Competition for food, water, space, and mates. Step three, survival of the fittest. Individuals with characteristics that make them better adapted to their environment are more likely to survive. The word fittest here doesn't mean strongest, it means best, suited to the environment. A pale moth on a pale tree trunk is fitter than a dark moth on the same tree because it's better camouflaged from predators. Step four, reproduction. The survivors live long enough to reproduce and pass on their genes to the next generation. Step five, allele frequency changes. Over many generations, the advantageous alleles become more common in the population. The population gradually changes. It evolves. A classic exam example is antibiotic resistance in bacteria. A random mutation gives one bacterium resistance to an antibiotic. When antibiotics are used, the non-resistant bacteria are killed, but the resistant one survives, reproduces, and passes on the resistance gene. Over time, the whole population becomes resistant. This is natural selection in action, and it's why doctors are so careful about prescribing antibiotics unnecessarily. Now let's talk about evidence for evolution. Examiners love to ask about this. The fossil record is one of the most important sources of evidence. Fossils are the preserved remains of organisms that lived millions of years ago, found in sedimentary rock. The deeper the rock layer, the older the fossil. By studying fossils, scientists can see how species have changed over time. However, the fossil record is incomplete. Many organisms have soft bodies that don't fossilize well, and many fossils have simply not been found yet. Comparative anatomy gives us another line of evidence. Homologous structures, like the bones in a human arm, a whale's flipper, a bat's wing, and a horse's leg, all share the same basic bone structure, suggesting they evolved from a common ancestor, even though they now perform very different functions. Molecular evidence is perhaps the most powerful. By comparing DNA sequences and protein sequences between species, scientists can work out how closely related they are. Humans and chimpanzees share about 98% of their DNA, strong evidence of a recent common ancestor. Now let's move on to genetic modification, one of the most exciting and controversial areas of modern biology. Genetic modification, also called genetic engineering, involves taking a gene from one organism and inserting it into the genome of another. The organism that receives the new gene is called a genetically modified organism, or GMO. The process uses two key enzymes. First, restriction enzymes. These act like molecular scissors, cutting the DNA at specific sequences to isolate the target gene. Importantly, restriction enzymes cut in a way that leaves sticky ends, short, single-stranded overhanging sequences that can bond with complementary sticky ends on another piece of DNA. Second, DNA ligase. This acts like molecular glue, joining the target gene into the new DNA molecule, forming what we call a recombinant DNA molecule. The most common vector the carrier used to get the gene into the new organism is a bacterial plasmid. A plasmid is a small, circular piece of DNA found in bacteria. Scientists cut the plasmid open with the same restriction enzyme, insert the target gene so the sticky ends join up, and seal it with DNA ligase. The recombinant plasmid is then inserted into a bacterium, which can then express the new gene and produce the desired protein. The classic example is insulin production. The human insulin gene is inserted into bacterial plasmids. The bacteria are grown in large fermenters and produce human insulin, which is then extracted and purified for use by people with type 1 diabetes. Before this technology, diabetics had to use insulin extracted from pigs or cows, which was less effective and caused allergic reactions in some patients. Genetic modification is also used in agriculture. GM crops can be engineered to be resistant to herbicides, resistant to pests, or to produce higher yields. Golden rice is a famous example. It has been engineered to produce beta-carotene, a precursor to vitamin A, to help combat vitamin A deficiency in developing countries. There are important ethical considerations here. Supporters argue that GM technology can save lives, reduce pesticide use, and improve food security. Critics raise concerns about unknown long-term effects on ecosystems, the risk of GM genes spreading to wild plant populations, and the concentration of power in the hands of large biotechnology companies. In the exam, if you're asked to evaluate genetic modification, you must present both sides and reach a conclusion. Right, let's talk exam technique. This section could be the difference between a grade 5 and a grade 7. First, when you're asked to explain natural selection in a specific context, you must apply the steps to that specific organism and environment. Don't just write a generic answer. If the question is about peppered moths, talk about moths, camouflage, and predatory birds. Examiners award marks for application, not just recall. Second, a very common mistake. Candidates confuse variation with mutation. Variation is the range of differences in a population. Mutation is one of the causes of variation. Don't use them interchangeably. Third, when describing genetic modification, you must name both enzymes, restriction enzymes, and DNA ligase. Many candidates mention cutting the DNA, but forget to mention the ligation step. That's a mark lost. Fourth, sticky ends is a key term. If a question asks you to explain why the same restriction enzyme is used to cut both the gene and the plasmid, the answer is so that complementary sticky ends are produced, allowing the gene to be inserted into the plasmid. Learn that phrase. Fifth, for evaluate questions about GM organisms, you need to give at least one advantage and one disadvantage, and then make a judgment. A response that only lists advantages or only lists disadvantages will not access the highest marks. Sixth, remember that natural selection requires heritable variation. A characteristic that is purely environmental, like a scar, cannot be passed on and therefore cannot be subject to natural selection. Finally, command words. State means give a brief factual answer. Describe means say what happens. Explain means say why or how. Always use the word because to link cause and effect. Evaluate means weigh up evidence and reach a conclusion. Okay, time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What are the two enzymes used in genetic modification? The answers are restriction enzymes and DNA ligase. Question 2. What term describes the small circular DNA found in bacteria used as a vector? A plasmid. Question 3. Give one piece of molecular evidence for evolution. Comparing DNA or protein sequences between species, more similar sequences indicate a more recent common ancestor. Question 4. Why must the same restriction enzyme be used to cut both the target gene and the plasmid? So that complementary sticky ends are produced, allowing the gene to be inserted into the plasmid. Question 5. What is the definition of evolution? A change in the inherited characteristics of a population over time through the process of natural selection. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's episode. 1. Natural selection drives evolution. The 5 steps are variation, competition, survival of the fittest, reproduction, and change in allele frequency. 2. Evidence for evolution includes the fossil record, comparative anatomy, and molecular evidence such as DNA comparisons. 3. Genetic modification uses restriction enzymes to cut DNA and DNA ligase to join it, creating recombinant DNA. 4. Plasmids are used as vectors to carry genes into bacteria, which then produce useful proteins like insulin. 5. When evaluating GM technology, always present both sides and reach a conclusion. You've done brilliantly getting through this episode. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions. And remember, the more you retrieve information from memory, the better it sticks. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.